Well, welcome, Echo Church. You excited to be at Echo today, all of our campuses? Awesome. Welcome, Sunnyvale, South, Fremont, North San Jose. Glad you guys are all here with us today. We're in a really cool series called Missing. I'm wondering here, though, as we get started, who's still missing their, like they have not done their Christmas shopping yet? You still got more shopping to do? All of our campuses, raise it high for a second. Let me take a look. Look around you. All right, who finished already everything? You're done. Like you are done shopping for Christmas already. Raise your hand high real quick. All of our campuses. Okay, there's a few of you. I want to know who the overachievers are, though. Like, who finished everything before December even began? Raise your hand. Is there a few? The North Campus, a bunch of losers. No, I should not do that before I teach. I'm sorry. No, I'm sure everyone's really smart. But here's the deal. If you finished it early, you're probably the ones with the most peace, right? Like I still got some to do as well. You got stuff going on. But if you finished it early, you have a lot of peace. That's the topic for today. But we have a saying among pastors that you ought to be careful with what you teach. Because whatever it is that you're teaching about, that's what you're going to struggle with or be tempted with or attacked with leading up to you teaching that. And I got to experience that the last couple weeks. Let me tell you about it. So 2 weeks ago when I began trying to piece this talk together, we had decided to renovate our offices. So my office was kind of a mess and I really wanted to put it together. I'm the kind of person that when things are together, I can focus. If they're not, I can't focus. So I the final piece to my office for it to be done was a TV that goes on my wall that I use for a lot of my meetings. And I ordered the TV and it came broken. And I was like, okay, just a TV, not a big deal, but okay, it's just annoying, right? Like I couldn't focus and get my stuff done. It wasn't done. And then that week, at the end of the week, I'm dropping off my kids at school. And I dropped them off and I take off and somebody who was probably trying to do some Christmas shopping and was in a rush, backed out of their driveway right into my car. Now, I drive this little Scion XB. I call it the Black Toaster. It's a black boxy car, and it's not worth much. So my car was totaled, and it's just kind of inconvenient. I'm like, okay, it's just a car. I can get around without my car or with the car, you know, with some dents. It's okay. It's still drivable. And then I'm home, and my electricity in my house starts to go wacko. So half of the house goes out, and I'm a handy person. I was trying to figure it out on my own. I tried everything I could, and there was weird stuff happening. I had a couple phones burn out and things that were happening. So I called the electricians over, and they spent 3 hours in my house. And after the 3 hours of fixing about half of the problems, the guys look at me and they say, in 20 years of doing electrical work, we've never seen a house like yours. I'm like, what? What is happening? And so they left and they didn't even fix the whole problem. I'm like, I don't want to spend more money. And so I thought it was over. I went from my, you know, the TV thing to the car and the house. I'm like, it's just, at least like it's functional. And then Saturday night comes, and this is last Saturday, right before Sunday here at Echo. And I usually try to go to bed a little bit earlier Saturday night, so I'm fresh for Sunday. And then my kids are all in the shower mode. And, you know, in my house, I have 5 children. So it's quite an event, actually, the shower time in my house. And then I hear screaming. I hear a girl screaming and a boy screaming. And I come down, and there is poop water coming from within the drains of my bathrooms, and the toilet is bubbling, and my boy is in the bathtub one, and there is, you know, crap coming out of it, and he's like in his towel, and then my daughters are trying to take a shower, and they were not in the bathtub. They had the kind of shower that has a little lip like this at the bottom, and that lip was not enough to contain all of my poop water. So it starts to overflow into their bathroom and into their room, and it would not stop overflowing. And there's toilet paper and crap, all this stuff all over the place. And we're going like this on tiptoes and trying to get as many towels as possible on the floor to dry it up so it wouldn't keep spreading. And so 1:30 in the morning on Saturday night, I'm still cleaning up poop, and I feel like I did it. I went to Safeway at night, I got all the stuff, and I thought I unclogged it all, and I thought all things were good. I'm here Sunday morning at Echo at the North Campus, and we are about to start celebrating life transformation and baptizing people, and my wife's about to leave. I come a little bit early, so she's about to leave. She calls me in the middle of all this cool stuff happening. She goes, it's happening again! And oh, there goes the poop water again, all over the house. 48 hours later, working with plumbers, we were finally able to get this stuff fixed, and a lot of poop water later, we had peace in my house. That was my preparation for peace. Now, I doubt that all of you had a poop experience like me this past week, but I think that there's many of us that maybe crap's hitting the fan at work or at home, there is stuff happening that you don't quite enjoy, and there is strife between you and a child or students in a room. You know it's like the end of the school year and there's finals, and then there's all the stuff that you have to deal with at school with relationships, and maybe there's some bullying, and there's stuff that steals our peace. Sometimes it's in our marriage, the strife, or at work, and things are not going the way that we hope for. And there are so many circumstances in our life that just tend to rob us of the peace that God intends for us to have. And it's common. In fact, all humans deal with this. Even those of us here at Echo, that you maybe you're here exploring faith and you don't even know anything about church and Jesus. This is new for you. We have this in common with all people, all religions, everybody. We long for peace. It is one of the most intense of all human cravings, is the need to feel at peace with ourselves. Is deep inside of us, and until we have the missing piece, we try to fill it with things that maybe will just maybe fill it. Or maybe if we can't do it, we try to numb it so that we don't have to deal with the fact that peace has gone missing. I don't think it's an accident that around the birth of Jesus, that event that changed all of human history 2,000 years ago, that the word that kept coming up over and over again was peace. And in fact, even before Jesus came, prophet Isaiah was recorded hundreds of years before he came. He said it like this: "For a child is born to us," speaking about the future, "and a son is given to us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." That there's going to be a day where peace would come to the earth. And then the events begin to unfold. First, it was John the Baptist. He was the cousin of Jesus, was born. His dad and mom, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they had this revelation that something was breaking through in humanity, and their child would come to prepare the way for the Messiah, the sent one of God. And then Zechariah, filled with the Spirit of God, he says this. He says, "Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us." There is a light that's about to break through and be revealed to us. And he says, "To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us into the path of peace." What he's saying here is really important to understand, that there is a darkness and there is a shadow that we live under. That because of the sin of humanity, that we live under this curse, and it steals our peace, and it often makes us live life pursuing something that we can't fill ourselves with. It's like there's a cloud over us, but this cloud is about to be dealt with because there's some sunlight, that there is a light that's about to break upon us, and the path of peace would be revealed. And he was speaking of Jesus. Jesus is the missing piece. That is the gap in our hearts that we long for. The missing piece is found in him. And in fact, when the event unfolded, we talked about the last couple of weeks where angels appeared to shepherds and were telling them the Son of God, the sent one of God, has been born. Here's how the event unfolded. It says, "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven." So it flooded the skies, praising God. And they were all saying together, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth with those that, whom God is pleased." That finally now that there is a pathway to peace, and it's saying that in the highest heavens, which we don't fully understand what this is, but we know that it's a place farthest from where we are, there is glory and radiance and praise happening, because finally, after all these years of creation, the peace of God is coming to the earth. That was the announcement. That was the rejoicing. There were angelic beings all over heaven. In the farthest place from where we are, there was already glory and radiance happening because of this one event and truth. All throughout the life of Jesus, even as a child, a little baby boy, you start to hear about this. In fact, there was a man named Simeon. He was an older man now, and he had the Spirit of God had revealed to him that he would not die until he got to hold in his arms the Prince of Peace. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And then Jesus' parents take him to the temple. Simeon got to hold them, and he says, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised." And Jesus begins to grow, and as he starts his ministry, peace is a common thread in what he's saying he came to do. Some people got it, some people didn't. And in fact, there were great misunderstandings about what he meant by peace. See, he came into a world with great turmoil. The Roman Empire was dominating Israel, and there they had governors that were under their authority. There was a lot of chaos happening, a lot of dysfunction. There were people, you know, death was a celebrated sport, and there was all kinds of stuff happening. And the Israelites were in this place where they were longing for somebody to deliver them politically. Like, we need to be freed from this oppression. So many of the followers of Jesus and people in town thought that that's what the Messiah would do. He would come to liberate us so that our nation would be as such like this, and we'd have this kind of freedom externally. And maybe our relationships then would be fixed, and we wouldn't have trouble and trial and all kinds of stuff that we deal with now. They thought it was going to be a political movement. And Jesus was picking up on this, that they were misunderstanding. And then he says this shocking statement that I think is just so that they would wake up to a different reality. He says, "Do you think I've come to bring peace to the earth?" And he's looking at his followers. And I'm sure they're thinking, well, of course, that's what you've been talking about the whole time. We need peace. Look at the chaos in our city. Look at what's happening in our brokenness in the world. But then Jesus says, "No, I have come to divide people against each other. From now on, families will be split apart, 3 in favor of me and 2 against." Jesus had a way of helping you understand things by going deeper into the root issue. And he's, in essence, saying that sometimes finding internal peace means you experience external turmoil. You see, that the peace that he would bring is not just a peace that would be translated to a country and a nation and whatever else. It's okay to pursue it, but that's not what Jesus is about. That his peace would often actually cause external turmoil. We experience that even here at Echo. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a story of a young woman who was a Buddhist and came to faith in Jesus, and her family was divided because of it. It happens all of the time, depending on your religious background, your upbringing, or even sometimes you just choosing to choose Jesus means that some of your friends don't like you anymore, and there's some persecution or trial or trouble that comes in school or workplace or family, and what Jesus said would happen starts to happen. We start to see the vision happening. He's saying, that's not the kind of peace I came for. But then in John 14, it talks about the end of his life and what he's unfolding to be what he's telling them is the true peace he came to bring. Listen to what he says. Listen to his longing first. He says, "I wish today that all people would understand the path to peace." His longing was that all would have it, but very few were finding it, because their expectation was incorrect. So he's actually looking over a city and he's weeping. And he's saying, "I wish all people would experience this kind of peace." But the peace that he gives is different than what they thought. In John 14, it says this, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." Really important words. "I came to give you peace of mind and heart." In other words, it is internal. There might be external trials and all kinds of trouble happening, and there might be poop water in your bathroom and stuff happening at work, but the peace I give you is internal, and it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the way that you feel. That's your mind and that's your heart. But then he says something really important. The peace I give you, the world cannot give this peace. And you see, unless we understand this, we're going to keep trying to fill it with the wrong stuff and coming out empty. And this is why so many of us, we try to find peace with God or peace in our hearts by just getting the right job. And then once we get it, we just want something else. And once we get to something else, we want something else. Sometimes it's by pursuing a relationship. If I just have people like me more, if I just find the right person, if my marriage just gets in order, if my kids would just leave my house, whatever, I hope you don't say that. I've never thought of it for sure. Just kidding. We are broken people, and we often will try to fill the gap with all kinds of false beliefs, thinking that it's in the world, more stuff, more people, better job, and we come out empty. And then Jesus says these words that are so powerful. Don't be troubled or afraid. I think the reason he's saying this is because these are the two things that tend to often rob us of peace. See, this word troubled speaks of the worries of life. And you know, this might be you, that you have these worries that just consume your heart. And you have this worried about your past where you know if they just find out what I've done, if my sin that I've hidden comes back, or is worry about the present where we are just not sure, what if I lose my job, and what if that person doesn't like me, and what if my marriage doesn't make it, and what if I don't have the right friends at school, whatever it might be. Or sometimes the worry is all about the future. It paralyzes us from obeying God because the worries of life have consumed us. Maybe even the thought of eternity has caused you to lose peace because you know it's uncertain for you. What's going to happen when I die? What's going to happen with my loved ones? But it's not just worry. It's our fear. It's us being able to say, I have to obey in spite of discomfort. You see, fear often grips us, and it keeps us from doing the things that we know we ought to do. And some of you are here and you know this. God has already asked you to take a step of faith. It might be to break up with somebody or to start a relationship or to share your faith, but fear holds you back. And you haven't been able to enter the path of peace because this fear is continually between you and the peace that God wants to give to you. Even when it comes to generosity, we've been in this season, we do it every single year at Echo, where we ask people to release greed and to go be generous to causes outside of ourselves. And it's so hard when we bring up this topic. So many of us, we start to kind of hold tight to our stuff because we feel like maybe we ought to help release kids from the system of not having loving homes in the foster care system. And you hear about us starting new churches in Brazil and releasing kids from poverty. And you hear about us expanding campuses and helping more and more people get to know the love of Jesus, or sending students to camp so their lives can be changed, and it gets stirred in you. But then when you start thinking about it, the fear just dominates. But what if I can't make my payments on my expensive car? And what if I can't pay for rent? And what if I don't have enough in 10 years for my kids' college? And what if, and all this fear holds us back from doing the thing that God has stirred us to do. We live in the wealthiest metropolitan area in the country, in the wealthiest country in the world, yet greed has gripped so many people's lives in such a way that it robs us of the joy and the peace that God wants us to experience. Our goal at Echo is to build up a community of people that are so generous that the world looks at us and they say, I don't know how they do it, but these people are not just about themselves. They are about others. This is a season to remember some of those commitments. Fear sometimes is related to rejection. We don't share our faith because we're scared. We feel like we can't confess something because someone might reject us. You have a fear of being yourself among somebody because you think, man, what if they don't like me anymore? And the truth is this, we're looking for a certain clarity that maybe God never intended for us to have because it removes our ability to put our faith in him. God gives clarity or certainty, that just the certainty you need to trust and the clarity you need to obey. You see, he won't give you more. It's very rare. He'll give you just enough certainty that you say, I'm going to put my faith in you. It still requires faith. And he gives you just enough clarity that you know what you ought to do, but you still got to step up and face fear and obey what he's called you to do. You and I are always in this tension. Do I wait for clarity before I move? And some people use peace as an excuse for that. Oh, I just didn't have peace about sharing Jesus with my friends. I just didn't have peace about giving to that person who is in need. But it becomes an excuse for lack of faith. See, sometimes the peace that God wants to give comes on the back end of obedience, not beforehand. And Jesus has told us that in this world, we're going to have a lot of trouble, but that this peace would be internal because he's overcome the world. In fact, listen to this next verse. I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on the earth, you will have trials and sorrows. In other words, all the peace you're looking for externally, it might not come. Like, it might just be an eternity. Like, while you're here on the earth, we are all subject to brokenness. We all have it. And if you've been promised that when you come to Jesus, you have prosperity physically and all, you know, financially and all this stuff, and it's never any and it's guaranteed, and all your problems will go away and your relationships will be clear, it's not the peace that Jesus is saying we will have. But he says that peace, though, comes in him. It is not in religion. It is not in ritual. It is not in our job. It's not when we have the right relationship and when our marriage gets fixed and when our relationship with our kids gets better. That peace is in him. And it comes in a relational way. In fact, it's so powerful to understand that the peace that he gives can only be found in relationship. The scripture says to tell God what we need and to thank him for all he has done. Look at Philippians with me for a minute. It says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. It speaks of relationship. Instead of worrying, we bring our worries to the one that we know and we talk to him. And we turn our worries into gratitude. And in this relationship of gratitude and communication, we finally find the peace that we're looking for. It's in him. I remember the first time I experienced this peace. And it flooded my heart. I was a high school student. I was 16 years old. And I had moved from Brazil to Michigan. And I felt lost and my identity was shaken because I didn't feel like I was in a culture that I understood. And I tried to fill this gap inside of me with all kinds of stuff because it was so empty. And I tried it with relationships and I tried it with girls. And then I started going deep into drug use because there was a void inside of me that I could not fill. And I couldn't put words to it, but it's what it was. And it was so big. It was such a craving that I started to just say, what if I just have more popularity, if I just numb it maybe with enough stuff, and it was driving me deep into darkness in such a way that it was crippling my life. And I remember somebody invited me to go to a church very similar to Echo. And then as a student, a 16-year-old student, they invited me to go to a retreat. And in this retreat in the hills of Michigan, I heard this preacher talk about his life story and how he tried to fill his void with all kinds of stuff and it left him empty. And I was just relating with this person. And then they had a worship time where they were singing around this bonfire outside of this retreat meeting space. And there's a couple hundred students around this fire all singing and pouring their hearts out to God. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, they have something that I don't have. And I began to sing and I began to express and I began to tell God what I need. And I began to express gratitude for what he has done. And I began to seek him, not religion, him. And I remember in that moment getting overwhelmed by the love of God. And it was so all-consuming that in my pride, even as a 16-year-old student, I got on my knees and I just cried. I remember people coming around like, what's wrong with that kid? And they didn't know what was happening inside of me, but I was experiencing something that would forever change me. And I felt God saying very clearly to me that I was waiting too long till things get fixed before I come to him. And he was saying, why don't you come to me with all of your brokenness and let me fix stuff with you. Take a step of faith, even with your doubts, even with your brokenness, even with all of your addictions. Come in to me. Come in. I went back home after that retreat and talked to my parents, and I had been lying about school and about grades and about what I would do on the weekends. And I told them, I kind of came open, and I packed up a bag full of drug paraphernalia and I threw it in the trash. And I remember in this moment where it was the first time in my life that the Felipe people saw and the Felipe that I knew was inside of me became one. And if you've never had the experience, the liberating freedom of knowing that you don't have to hide anything, it changes you. I sat on my bed in this room in Michigan and second floor of my house. I remember like it was yesterday, single bed, Michael Jordan posters on the wall. And I had this overwhelming peace inside of me. And with tears in my eyes, I said, God, if this is what it's like to be at peace with you, I choose you. It's better than any drug I've tried to numb it with. It's better than any relationship I've tried to be the fit for that hole. I choose you. And little did I know that my life would be forever changed with that relationship. That's the gift that Jesus looks over us. He says, I just long to give to all people. It's not just for some, it's for all. And in that Philippians verse, it says, tell God what you need. It goes on and it says, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It can't even fit in our minds. His peace will guard your heart and mind as you live in Christ Jesus. This in Christ Jesus is so important because so often we make Jesus a little side note of the book of our life. He's like a footnote in the bottom of a page instead of the title of the book. And he's saying, if you want this kind of peace, you got to have this moment of relinquishing control, of saying, Jesus, I want you more than anything else in my life, and I'm coming to you. I'm not just coming to religion. It's not going to be a once a week thing I do as a ritual. It's going to be an all-consuming part of who I am. It means my relationships are yours. My job is yours. It means that my parenting is yours, and my career is for you, and it's to tell about you, and my finances are yours, and my dreams are yours. Everything in me, if I'm still on the earth, it's because I want to live in you, and you got something for me to do in this life. And when that becomes our priority, all things begin to change. And that peace, it transcends understanding. It's why that year, even in all of coming out of my drug use and addiction, the Spirit of God already began to stir in me a desire. It's like, you got to serve me with your life. And there's so many people that experience that here at Echo, and you know what I mean. And it's awesome to watch people that no longer think that they just are at Google or Apple or their parents or whatever it is that you do, teachers, it's just because you're there for the money. You're there because of a mission, because there's people missing this piece, and you know that Jesus is the missing piece. But look at the two statements that Jesus would often say in relation to this. Over and over again, he would say, peace be with you. And then he'd often say, go in peace. And if you read throughout the Gospels, the eyewitness accounts of Jesus, these two phrases get repeated over and over again. He'd say, peace be with you. He'd enter a home, peace be with you, peace be with you. And when the storm was taking over, peace, he would speak peace over things. And this with peace life, this with God peace life is really, really important. It's when he comes into our story and he says, okay, now peace is with you. Emmanuel, this word we talk about in Christmas means God with us, the name they gave to Jesus, that he would come and he would be our missing peace. And some of you are here today, like you've been coming to Echo, or maybe it's your first time and you haven't yet said yes to Jesus fully. He's been like the side note. And he's saying to you, I want my peace to be right there with you and in you. And this is your moment to say, Jesus, I don't want to do life without it. I want that to be my new addiction, to pursue this life of transparency where I know where I stand with my Creator. And then God's peace would come and be with us. In a minute, we're going to celebrate communion. And the thing I love about communion is that that's what we are remembering, that Jesus came in flesh. And as you take that bread, you notice that it's pierced and it is striped and it is cracked and broken. Because in his flesh, he was broken and he was pierced and he was striped in his back for us. And that darkness that we spoke about that dominates humanity and the shadow of death, it was dealt with. And on that cross, he bled. And as we take that bread and we dip it in the juice and we take it, that juice represents life. Life is in the blood. And what he was doing is he was saying, look, I've come to deal with that shadow. I've come to deal with it so that you don't have to live in darkness and in guilt and in shame. You can be free. You can have peace. But you gotta come to me. And maybe this is your opportunity for some here at Echo to come to the table, and that'll be your commitment today. To say, Jesus, I am all in. I want you to consume me as I'm consuming these elements. But not only did he say, peace be with you, he would also say to people, go in peace. See, there is a moment that we have to experience and invite peace to come in. But then I think Jesus would look at several of us right now and he'd say, now it's time to go. And maybe you've already experienced the with peace life. But maybe what God is saying is this is time to go now and be peacemakers. See, when God gives you something, it's not just for you. It's for the world around you. And there's no peace that comes in us that doesn't change the world around us. If God's giving us peace, it's so that we would be bold and courageous and we would pass it to the world around us that's broken. This is why at Echo we're so aggressive and we are urgent in our mission to lead people to say yes to Jesus, because he's the missing piece, and without him there is eternity apart from that kind of peace. But in him there is freedom. And we give a lot of tools at Echo, and I want to ask you to make this your commitment. We give you invites. We're giving you door hangers today. We're going to give you a funny video in a digital way to spread the message. But this is an opportunity at Christmas time that is so important for us to take hold of, to say, I'm going to invite as many people as possible, my friends at school and my neighbors and my coworkers. I'm going to invite them to experience the missing piece in their life. And by just invitation alone, we can change a human life. And I want to ask you to go big and believe big and maybe internalize this statement. Go and be peacemakers now. Let this peace of yours shine to the world around you. And don't just keep it to yourself. It would be selfish to keep a good thing just for us. And as we close our time, I want to ask all of our campuses to stand with me for a moment. I want to pray for us. And as we pray and we get ready to sing this song, this is our chance to go all in. And as you're ready in your heart to make your commitment, if you're a follower of Jesus today, or if this is the day you're putting your trust in him, to come to the tables around your campus and receive communion and remembering what he has done for us. And some of us receiving communion is going to be our time to say, no, I'm going to not just receive it. I'm going to give it this season. And let what God's done in me change the world around me. And around the communion tables, there are people at all of our campuses with tags on. They're our prayer team. And we're going to do something a little bit different today because we felt like there might be an opportunity here for some of you that you just need somebody to pray with you. And maybe you've never done this before, but there's tremendous power in combining your faith with somebody else's faith and asking God to do the miraculous in your life. And maybe your prayer is for somebody else in your life you try to impact, or maybe it's for courage to address a sin in your life that's robbed you of peace. Maybe it's for a relationship or an opportunity that you know you have to address. But whatever it is, let somebody pray with you today. Come around one of the tables, look for the person with the tag, and just come over and let them pray over you during this time as well. So Father, we come to you. And we thank you for the peace that's internal that you've provided through your Son. And we trust that you as a good Father would give this gift to us. And Jesus, just as you prayed and you spoke blessing over your followers 2,000 years ago, I want to ask for your blessing over Echo, that your peace would rest inside of every heart right here. As we sing now and we celebrate your blood and your body, would you infuse your peace in us? And I want to ask for the blessing that you gave your followers as well, that we would go in peace. And as we invite and invest in those that are far from you, that you would increase our burden for the mission, that we would be aggressive so that all people would experience the missing piece that you offer. In Jesus' name, amen.
One.